Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm so excited today. I've got my friend Jeremy Burton with us from Museum of the Bible. Jeremy, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, glad to be with you.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and what Museum of the Bible is for those that don't know?
Yeah, sure. So, again, Jeremy Burton, like you said, been doing marketing, PR, communications for nearing the 20-year mark here pretty soon. So been in healthcare, been in higher education, and I've been in, now I'm in the museum world. And just having, it's so much fun. Museum of the Bible is such a great project. Happy to be a part of it, really proud of what we're doing. And how even, so the museum itself, so there's a physical museum opening up in Washington, D.C., and they're going to open up, we're going to open up the official dedication date is November 17th of this year, and then we'll be open to the public. But through some of our efforts now, especially on the social media front, and actually even on some traditional broadcast fronts, we've actually already started to impact people with our mission. Our mission's pretty simple. It's to invite all people to engage with the Bible. So we've created content and created an experience in the museum that really anyone of any background can engage with. So this is not, it is not an evangelical museum. It is not a Jewish museum. It's not a Catholic museum, but it's something that all of those faith traditions could come to. But even if you had no faith background, if you were an atheist, an agnostic, or anyone, you'd walk into this museum and feel comfortable. And so, you know, we had the challenge of then now, how do you take that into the digital space and create content that has that same flair, that we never take a theological position.
Interesting.
It's a unique platform. It's really, I love it.
Yeah. That's awesome. So I heard you say we have a physical museum. Does that mean you have a virtual museum as well? Or is your mission global? Is it digital and physical? Is the strategy of digital to get them to physical? And what I'm doing here is I'm aligning a church struggles with, are we a physical local church? You know, and are we, you know, what is our digital presence? How does it align? So I'm curious, for Museum of the Bible, how does the digital align to the physical?
You know, it is interesting for us. The museum is just one of four things that we do. And so a lot of people focus, we talk internally, it's like a lot of people focus on the box. So that really is, people are going to be really interested just because in the proximity that we are to the Capitol. You know, we're in Washington, D.C., three blocks south of the Capitol, two blocks south of the Air and Space Museum, which is really one of the most visited museums in all of America. And so it's a fantastic location. But we're also doing, we have an education initiative where we have new curriculum, and the curriculum is on tablet. You actually use a tablet for the curriculum. It has augmented reality in it.
Cool.
That is launched. If you're a homeschool student, you can get it. If you're a private school student, we've got a private school version that you can get. Actually, the first place that we took it, believe it or not, was actually to Israel. With the company that is creating that that curriculum is in Israel, and we had an opportunity to get it into a school system there. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, and now it's actually available to like 100,000 Israeli public school students.
Wow,
it's really great. So that's one piece. We have traveling exhibits that we've had going for a number of years. Now, as we're focused on the museum, getting online, and then that will launch again. And then we also have a scholars initiative where we work with scholars all around the world. But people will focus on the DC presence, but that's why I sectioned it off. But really we see our digital media efforts and our broadcast media efforts as an extension of our mission.
Yeah.
Every day. I mean, if everyone in the world went through Museum of the Bible, you know, it would take hundreds of years to get the entire population through there.
Yep.
But we can take that content and that concept out to the masses in a meaningful way. And we're already making huge strides there.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's dig into that. What are you doing thus far? I'll speak directly to what I see is I see 1.1 million people on your Facebook page before the museum is even, and I say museum because I'm still thinking the box, but before the box is built, you've got 1.1 million on your Facebook page. What have you seen? What's the engagement been, and what's your strategy around it?
our strategy was we're going Facebook first. You know, yeah. Facebook was a country. They'd be the largest country in the world by, what is it? And Niels, you'll know, 2 billion active users a day.
Yep.
That's an insane number. So there's no other platform that's coming anywhere close to that. And so we went, let's tackle Facebook first. That makes a lot of sense. We have Twitter, we have Instagram. We can talk about Snapchat. We are doing some LinkedIn on the job site. Actually helps us a lot. LinkedIn, it's a super niche site, but it's helped us on the job side. We went Facebook first, and you always have to figure out who to benchmark yourself against. I know in the church space, it's going to be, well, we don't want to be competitors. We're all in the same kingdom. And I 100% believe in that. So, but it's always good to look at other churches that are kind of on a similar trajectory, or mission, vision, just so you can figure out if you're doing it right. And so we went, well, let's look how we compare to the other museums. So right now we are actually one of the top 10 museums in the world on Facebook.
And how do you compare that in size of following or in engagement, or how are you comparing?
You look at number of likes.
Yeah.
Engagement's a tough one just because it fluctuates depending on what you're talking about. Yep. There's some that we'd love to get to their engagement. The Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam, their engagement is off the charts. They have built this rabid fan base that they'll have, and you know, any given snapshot in time on the insights, you know, they'll have 50,000 plus in engagement, and they're fun to watch. We're just behind the British Museum in number of likes.
Interesting.
So our Twitter and Instagram aren't nearly as far along just because that has not been our focus. It's a little harder to grow. You can actually spend some money and get some likes through Facebook. So, but you can't just go out and buy likes and not have a good content strategy.
That's right.
Fact that we buy likes and we have a really great content strategy is why we've grown so rapidly.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. What is your content strategy that is working so well?
So we have at the museum, you know, we've got curators that we go to in different specialty areas. And you know, we've got one that the American Bible is his. We have one that Hebrew manuscripts are his. We have another one that is medieval manuscripts. And they're just curating content. For us and for anyone listening to this podcast, you're a content curator.
Yep.
You're out there to grab the best content that fits your mission, that helps move your people. Whatever your objective, you have to figure out what your objective is, but your curator is there to grab that content and deploy it in the right way to get your audience engaged. And we're doing the same thing. So we do things like, we'll do Artifact of the Day. That's been one it's done fairly well for us. We look at, we love video. So I told you, we had this traditional, whenever I came on, there was a process going that I inherited that was a fantastic idea. And they said, let's make a daily feature for radio on the history and impact of the Bible. It's a great idea.
Yep.
So then we went, well, hey, look, we got the audio bed. What else can we do with this? Yep. So we go, okay, let's do an automated e-blast. Let's turn it into a video every day for social. Mm-hmm. Let's make it a podcast.
Yep.
And so now we've taken one piece of content and we've turned it into like 5 or 6 different products, and we're kicking it out. So our number one content on our website on our Facebook page is hands down this thing that we call the Book Minute. So it's a little 1 minute feature, and there's times at the minimum we're going to reach 30,000 people. Some of them have taken off and they have gone to, we had one that hit over 1 million and about 800 that was organic. So if we see something taking hold, sometimes we'll boost it and kind of push it into the market a little bit more.
Yep.
But that content is just so important. And another thing that we've gotten very good at is calendarizing our content.
Okay, explain that.
Anyone can do this. You can look and go, okay, what's going on during the year?
Yep.
What can we attach to that makes sense in our market? So I'll tell you the one that we're trying to really own is, do you know, Niels, what's important, an important Bible holiday this October? Let's see if you know.
No idea. I have no idea.
Super, super big. So the 500th anniversary of the Reformation is this October.
This October. Interesting.
This October. Okay. So okay. The Reformation can be a little bit of a divisive issue, but from our perspective, the Reformation was really the catalyst for the Bible to begin to be translated into other languages.
Yep.
So we have we're going through the calendar right now. We have probably 7 to 10 1-minute pieces that will be out there. We're going to do a 30-minute radio special. We're going to create info, little quote graphics that we'll be able to push out on the market. We're going to have a hub on our website where people can go to learn more information. So, you know, the hope is that we become the experts on the Bible and the Reformation, and we do it in a way that doesn't make anyone feel bad. You know, we try and do things that still honors the Catholic Church and still honors the Protestant Church and doesn't have any bias to it, but just goes through the history of that time and what it meant to the Bible.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I think, boy, that's such a great takeaway for churches. If you were to just look at a calendar, you know, and look at your local community and really begin to dig into how can we, you know, become, you know, a leading voice in this event. You know, so I come from San Antonio. Fiesta is a big part of our culture in San Antonio. And I think about how a church might be able to engage in that calendar event or digging into some of those unique cultural opportunities and calendaring. Really interesting tactic there. Let's talk about, go ahead.
Oh, you know, I wanted to tell you, you get a chance to think creatively too. So whenever I was at Oral Roberts University for 12 years before this, and we were going through our calendar for the year, and we said, hey, what's a fun holiday that we can just do something social media fun with? What would be cool? And we found this holiday. It was like one of those totally made up. It was made up by an industry, and it was called Bubble Wrap Appreciation Day.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of cool. I bet we could do a couple things on social with that. And then we said to ourselves, hey, is there a world record for bubble wrap? Is there a world record out there?
Yep.
And we, sure enough, we found this world record. It was the most people popping bubble wrap simultaneously for 2 minutes. And we're like, okay, now what can we do with that? And how does that fit into kind of our mission? Yep. Who we are. Really, what we wanted to do is we wanted to show people out there and show prospective students especially that we're a university that while we're a Christian school, we can have the most fun.
Yeah, that's good.
And so we sought out after this, and on January 26th of that year, it happened to fall on a Monday, which at ORU was the day that there was like a dead hour. There's chapel on Wednesdays and Fridays, but not on Mondays. Yeah. So there was just this dead hour. And so we had 1,100 people in our arena popping bubble wrap. Somehow this
big awesome
crowd got in there.
Yep.
But we took advantage of that moment. And actually, it was not only a big social media hit for us. And it's super, we got our entire community engaged with popping. I mean, we were putting bubble wrap everywhere. But, you know, we got to get out into the traditional media, too. We got stories going nationally and internationally all around bubble wrap. And so you can find these cool moments in these unexpected places if you just think creatively.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. What a good push. I think if we ended the podcast right now, church leaders would have a very practical, tactical opportunity of how to engage on social media. As we're getting into maybe a tactic, I'm huge on virtual reality right now, 360 video. I've been talking about it a lot. When I saw the Museum of the Bible set up at NRB, I believe I saw a virtual, I didn't get to do it, but a little virtual reality setup. And I've seen on YouTube the 360 tour of the museum in the construction process. Is there more integration? I guess maybe are you doing anything else with 360 video or virtual reality? I know everything around the museum is very high tech and high touch simultaneously, but curious VR 360 video, what you're experiencing and learning.
Yeah, they are going to have, I know they're going to have a VR experience that will be there. I think they're still kind of working out what that will be. We do have a ride. It's new technology out of Europe called Flyboard. And there's going to be this experience where you're in a theater leaning into a harness, and it's going to make you feel like you're flying around Washington, D.C., seeing where the Bible is embedded kind of in plain sight. And so that's really cool. On the social side, we love that. That 360 hard hat video we did was just really cool. So we've been doing hard hat tours for probably a year before this, and the team here have got a really fantastic social media manager, and we happened to make a connection with the guys from Christian Vision that are they're actually just down in Dallas, so they came up and they had been they've got some good knowledge in the 360 area, so we said let's do a 360 hard hat tour. Let's take that experience, because you can only take like a couple of hundred people a month through that experience, maybe 1,000 if you're super aggressive, but it's really hard. Why don't we take that to the masses? And so they said, yeah. And so we scripted the thing out, and we had a guide with him that puts your hard hat on for you. And it was just like you were taking the tour with him. We were hard hatted up. We played this game too. We hid like an Easter egg inside the 360 video, and in every frame, except for one, because we didn't think ahead on that first shot, but there's a hard hat somewhere in the scene. And so we did that as another engagement point, kind of fun. And we were planning on, whenever the museum opens, we were planning on doing another one. Here's the finished museum, so you can get the experience.
Yep.
And of course, we hope compels you to come to Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
Yep. But it's a total social media play out into the market. So we are working on that now. They have talked about in the past about trying to figure out if there's a 360 integration where guests can control the experience, but who knows where that will go. And honestly, in the next couple of years, we're just at the front edge of 360.
That's right. Yep.
It's going to totally, and in 2 years, it's going to look totally different. So that's the fun part of this museum, is that we're totally teched up. We aim to be one of the most technologically advanced museums in the world. We're spending $42 million on technology.
Wow. Wow. I love it. I love to, I was reading, I don't remember who was talking about it, but with Museum of the Bible, that where so many ministries kind of try to do everything on the cheap, Museum of the Bible said, how do we be the best? This is the Bible we're representing here. Let's do this at the highest level of excellence. And I love that. I cannot wait physically. I can't wait for the box. I love what I'm already experiencing in the digital realm. And then I think what the box is going to be able to bring to the digital realm from an experiential standpoint digitally. And so I'm so pumped about that. Let's talk about where you see things going digitally with social media specifically. What are your goals for the future? So you talk about kind of competing against these other museums. Are there other landmarks that are just really kind of core goals that you're like, we want to be here in the next year, 2 years, 3 years? How far even can you think digitally and strategically?
There's those givens, and we follow the givens. I had a friend of mine called it the RST L&E goals. Whenever you do Wheel of Fortune, and they give you those four letters, you always want to follow likes, and you want to track likes, you track follows. We have a dashboard where we track it on a week, and we go, where are we week over week? Where are we month over month?
Yep.
And so we are following likes and follows. We're following our total reach numbers. So we did, we had got some time with, a lady who's with Facebook out of Washington, D.C., and she said she believes you should just watch your reach number on Facebook. And so the reach number is the one that we have focused on, and so we have a metric that we're trying to hit for that in terms of reach. So in order to – those just two fundamentals will give us some idea of success. Everything really outside of that is it's all anecdotal. It's great to tell stories and see how people have been changed or altered because of this, or if we had a post that's done super well. So our next phase, what we hope is actually we hope to get into more earned social media through some of these other networks. So the way we see it is like Van Gogh. We've been having conversations with the Van Gogh Museum about what artifacts they have that have some sort of Bible tie. And then if we can create content that they would cross post with us, it does really two huge things for us. Is one, it will drastically increase our reach, and it will increase our reach to people who are maybe not going to engage with the Bible on a regular basis.
Yep.
And so forward looking, we're starting to look at that partnership side and go, who do we need to get with that could get our message into a different quadrant where our museums intersect. And we look at other, or it's not just museums. We look at other organizations in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Interesting. I think just practically, and I agree with that target of look at your reach number, you know, and really target in on that reach number. Because if you're growing your likes, because I think what it speaks to is you're growing your likes, but you're also creating content that's engaging those people that are liking your page. And so it's making that purchase of those likes, you know, worth it. And then, you know, obviously boosting posts, it's a both and situation when it comes to where you're investing, but how you're measuring, I think reach is probably the most significant number there. So I love that you're measuring that. And then, you know, naturally, it's a moving target right now with social media. And so we have to remain flexible. It's funny to even talk about a 2 or 3 year plan in this digital world that we're living in. Well, let's talk about how can people get involved in Museum of the Bible? What are they, what do church leaders, what do you want them to know, and what can they do to be a part?
You know, there's a number of ways to get involved, and the easy one is, hey, every church in America should bring a group yeah. to the museum. No doubt. I mean, it's going to be a pilgrimage for people. It's just such a great, 430,000 square feet of wonder. Yeah. And it's worth bringing your congregation members to, your youth to. You know, it's a way that everyone of every age, from young to old, even kid, you know, we've got a digital guide that people will be able to get their hands on that will actually yeah. guide them around the museum. And then we even have that down for kids like 4 and 5 years old.
Wow.
And we have a different experience for teenagers, and all the rest of us adults just get the regular. but it's really that's a cool, easy way to do it. You know, we certainly, anyone that wants to give to the museum, we love that. Yeah. We do have an opportunity that I think we've taken advantage of it, like on a grand scale, just because we went, how cool. Yeah. You can give a gift on behalf of anyone. And, yeah. you know, you could give $5, you know, we'd love for you to give 20 or 50 or 100, but you could give yeah. five, you know, I gave $5 on behalf of like 100 people just because yeah. I wanted to honor them because I knew that they loved the Bible. And so yeah. their names will be permanently displayed in the museum whenever it opens.
Nice.
So that's a cool way to do it. Another way is just on social media, we have content that you can have. Like
yeah.
that's been some of the fun for me is we're making this content going, hey, look, we don't have to keep it. We're not going to be territorial and say it just has to go on our site. You guys can have access to this. You can share it. You can, you know, we're super open to cross-posting on Facebook. And it just, it's another tool for the church, for the Christian church around the world. It's a different conversation that the church isn't having necessarily.
Yep.
And, you know, it takes the emotion out of the room whenever you talk about history.
Yep.
Whenever you say, hey, look, the Bible's the best-selling book of all time. It's controversial. It's hated. But you can't deny its impact.
Yep. Yep.
and we can show you. We can show you that Shakespeare had 1,500 biblical references through his materials. We can show yep. you that, you know, George Washington in the first inauguration, they ran back to go get a Bible for him to be sworn in on. It is not a constitutional requirement, but it's something still to this day that most presidents have done. You know, those are the types of things you can totally grab that content and take and do things with it. And we encourage that of any church out there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, and I know so many churches are in need of content. You know, it is very time consuming to create good content. My formula for social media, you know, those that listen to this podcast have heard it over and over again, of inspiration, information, conversation, celebration. And I think we've talked about two of those today, is the inspiration should be a minimum of 50% of your content should be inspirational in nature. And you guys are creating great inspirational content that church leaders can share with their congregations. And then I think the other is the celebration. And that I think gets into the timelines of really looking at the calendar. So such great, you know, I think wisdom insights and the practical insights of, man, there's content out there that Museum of the Bible is creating that church leaders can take and use. And then practically, I personally, so our family is now just a short train ride away from DC. So we can't wait to get there. And I'm encouraged because I've got a 5-year-old. And I was like, oh, she's too young. I can't take her. You no, telling perfect. Me this, I'm like, oh, perfect. We're bringing the whole family. And we can't wait.
Too, Neil. So we have a whole kids area where you can be like Samson and bring the pillars down. And
nice.
It's super cool. Hey,
that's awesome.
That, yeah. I mean, this isn't on the museum side that I think is important to your church leaders is you should have a great social media effort. You know, you don't have to spend the money and technology we're spending to do a great job.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The other thing that I think that I really want to encourage pastors who are listening is we do not have a set of standards on how the people sitting in your pews should use social media. We are sitting in a point in time in history where the individual has more power than ever before. You know, you have people sitting in your congregation who are reaching thousands of people every time they press the button, every time they post something. And there's not a lot of people talking about it from the pulpit saying, A, you have this power, with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah. And B, here's the standards in which you should do it. You should think about things before you post them and realize that there are ramifications. So I do want to throw that out there that's something that is super, has been super important to me. And I hope more people pick that up.
That's great. That's great. I'm going on a tangent here, cause you're stirring this in my mind a little bit, but I'm going to quote a quote that I don't know if it's legitimate. So, but here's what I've heard. I heard someone say that the most retweeted thing on all of Twitter from the CEO of Twitter, are Bible verses that is, as Twitter dug into what's the most retweeted thing of everything on Twitter, they found that Bible verses were the most retweeted thing on all of Twitter. Now I need to look that up to confirm that. And I've heard that recently, but I think one, the Bible is so powerful. And I hear pastors still say, I don't know what to say on social media. The Bible, you know, like we have the Bible, we have a book full of gold to share. And I think that's why the Museum of the Bible is so important. I think it's why, you know, this isn't hard. If we have gold already written for us, we just need to share it and engage and put that in creative ways that's going to engage those in our community and in our congregations. And so I'm so, you know, Jeremy, I found out about the Museum of the Bible probably 2 years ago, a year and a half ago at an event here in New York. And I remember thinking, like, the museum, you know, like I just don't, you know, like it didn't excite me, the thought of it immediately. And then by the end of the dinner I was at, I was like, I'm not going to have to wait 18 months. Like, this is going to be amazing. How do I get people involved in this? How do I get involved in it? Then I literally went to DC like 2 months later, went to the Air and Space Museum. And I was like, how come the Bible doesn't already have a museum? This is, you know, like, it's almost like, when you see these, you know, museums created for other things that aren't nearly as important as the Bible, it just is such it's a beautiful thing that's being created. I think it's, you know, the church leaders have a unique opportunity here. The Bible is something that our congregations, some of them, like, they just aren't reading it, you know, not doing it. And the Museum of the Bible is going to, I think, help them fall even more in love with the Bible, and the Bible transforms. You know, I think we as ministry leaders can engage them around the Bible, but I think we need them to be digging into it themselves. This is mm-hmm. another tool, another opportunity to connect them with it, to understand the depths of it. Anyways, I'm so fired up at the Museum of the Bible. I can't wait to go to the box. I can't wait to continue to engage on social media and see what's going to – the content, because, Jeremy, you have no limit to what you can create. I think what you essentially are going to run into is we would overpost if we posted everything valuable that we had to post right. and to talk about. And so that's I think the tension you're going to run into. And I think that's why it's engaging so well and it's growing so well. So I love how you are utilizing technology and modeling for others and being generous with this. And so I'm so fired up. Anything else you want to share with church leaders?
I do. I love what you just said about following in love with the Bible. There were some things that I even took for granted that I didn't know about. Things like the story of William Tyndale. You know, there's guys who were martyred for translating the Bible into English.
Yep.
So the fact that you can sit there today and read your Bible in English, and we fight over translations, we fight over all this stuff.
Right.
Back to the core of, I didn't know there were markers for that. And with this guy's dying, you know, he was arrested, and my the the guys on our staff, I'll probably get this wrong. We have curators that know way more and writers who know way more about this, but you know, he was arrested, tried and found guilty of treason because he was a scholar. He was strangled to death before he was burned at the stake. And his dying breath was a plea to the King of England to get the Bible, to have the Bible translated into English. I mean, you really take that. Yep. I took that for granted. And now it makes me sit there and look at my Bible, whether it's on my phone or I've got physical Bibles all around my office. We have physical Bible. You know, I guarantee you, you've got 5-6 Bibles at home, and yep. We never think about how that got to us. And so it did give me a deeper appreciation, a deeper love for the Bible. You know, for people, you're so close to where we are, and there'll be many who are listening to the podcast. The other thing I failed to mention is we will have memberships available. So this is a great thing. The museum is free with a suggested donation, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Membership gets you in early access, early hours. I mean, it is going to be a highly trafficked museum. We don't give numbers on what we think. We'll wait until that first year is over and we'll tell everyone where we got. But the membership thing is really a great way to get you and your family, get them in early and get access. I mean, it would take you 9 8-hour days in theory to go through every single thing in the museum. Wow. So you can continue to go back. We'll have lectures, we'll have different guided tours you can take and just continue to go back and just learn more about this book that is so central to a lot of people's faith.
Interesting. Well, I'm pumped. And so I think, you know, everyone out there, you can go to museumofthebible.org, find out more, go to the bottom of their website and click around to their social networks too, and just see what they're doing practically. Go to the YouTube channel, look at LinkedIn. I think I love that you kind of spoke to a social network we don't talk about a lot here. But I think at the core takeaway is, you know, Facebook continues to dominate. And I love that you guys have dug into see Facebook first. And I appreciate, Jeremy, you being so transparent to talk about your strategy and your learnings, what you're taking away. And so I look forward to everybody being able to connect and learn more about Museum of the Bible. How can people connect with you socially, personally?
Yeah, I am, believe it or not, I have my name on Twitter. So I'm at Jeremy.
Congratulations.
And that shows you how old I am. I was back on Facebook when you actually had a dot. You had to have a .edu. You remember that day?
Well, yeah.
And so you can find me on Facebook through, I think I'm Jeremy C. Burton on Facebook, and then those are really my two big ones. And then the LinkedIn, I do some as well. You're not going to find me on Snapchat. I have one out there, but it's just a lurk. Snapchat okay. One, I'm like, I'm not really feeling that one. We are onboarding Snapchat when our museum comes online, and Instagram cool. Stories. We just haven't had to do that. But that's how they can connect to me. I do have a website, jeremycburton.com. I've written a little book that they're welcome to go get. It's free. It's and at that website, you can download. It's called Manifesto on Social Media Influence. Yep. That's why I got on that soapbox there for a couple of minutes.
Well, that's how you and I met. You and I don't remember this. Met in the Oklahoma City airport, and you gave me a copy of your book there, and I read it on the airplane. It's fantastic. So I do encourage everybody. So I'm going to put this in the show notes to go to your website and get that book. It's a great. It's a quick read, but really inspiring. And around storytelling, you know, and really so many people struggle with what to say on social media and how to effectively use it. Your book is a really simple, clear, creative way that you communicate that for anybody at the end of the day. But I think for ministry leaders in particular, some great learnings there. So, Jeremy, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Appreciate it.